Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to the number one video game podcast on the internet. Tonight, you're going to be tuning in to some of the most famous underground superstars the world of internet gaming has ever known, starting with the lovable, our fearless leader, Rocco. Rocco, he flips them and fries them. Bodie, our fearless leader, Rocco, hit him with a little bit of that Italian stallion sass. This guy's known for his quotes. Give him a little bit of the magic.
There are over 300 nerves in under each tooth.
That's right, nice. Baby. And not only that, we also have America's dad. That's right. Bill Cosby's been thrown in the slammer, but don't worry. We've got his... No, not on me. We've got his replacement. That's right, Sean Chatfield. This guy has one kid for every three women Bill Cosby is accused of sexually harassing. Sean, hit him with a little bit of your dad quotes.
Put that down right now and get over here. You're on timeout.
That's right, America. You've been put on timeout. And sitting next to Sean, we've got the rock star. We've got the ladies man. We've got every woman's fantasy with the dreadlocks and the tattoos and the technical skills. It's as if.
They already showed me. Oh,
Rob Zombie and Mr. Wizard had a kinky sex party and out came their love child, Garrett. The Gun Hunter! Why don't you let him know why they call you the gun?
Because I aim for the heart, baby.
That's right. And last but not least, I introduce myself, the most famous Puerto Rican on the internet, Derek El Fuego del Diablo Acosta.
That's
that was good.
You're here with the Mega 64 boys on a hot Sunday night. I just wanted to get it started off right with a big intro.
Get
We've got
sizzling.
Kevin on camera.
Woo!
Kevin! Shake the camera around. Let people know you're
there. He is there.
Whoa, that's right there.
We've got the Heart Slayer Meg cutting on the board.
Meg, that's
there she is.
There she is.
Where the hell are you?
Do a little strobe effect so they know you're alive.
Yeah, she put gaffer's tape on her cam. I don't know what happened.
Yeah. She doesn't want the government
I turned off that camera. She looked miserable as shit.
Oh, we've got the whole team here, and we're going to be talking about all the hottest news, the hottest shit, the biggest video games, starting with what the fuck is Rocco wearing?
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the biggest shits, including what the fuck, who got Mario Party?
M for Mario? That's...
We're not going to talk. Listen, we talk about important stuff on this show. We don't dwell on fashion or outfits or any of that superficial crap. So we're not going to talk about that.
You've talked about socks like 6 weeks in a row.
Only when I'm asked about it.
I thought you would want to show off your socks. That's kind of like your thing.
No, I don't talk about fashion.
Come on, dude, I'm loving them.
Is that a visor?
I don't talk about fashion.
I think
that's a visor.
This guy. All right. So honest opinion. Rocco is always on the forefront of finding new gold mines of attire.
Yeah.
You locate like whole brands that I wasn't aware were clothing brands.
Right, Gucci, Armani.
You're like the first guy to wear Gucci, and everybody's like, "What is that?"
Well, this is for the people watching, but also for the IRS. I 8,000 dollars in belts. Well, the belts are longer lasting. Which is good.
Yeah, that's
That
was your YouTube video of the week last week.
Yes.
No, legitimately. Okay, let's get legitimate here.
Yeah.
What does everybody think of Rocco's outfit? Can I go first?
Go ahead, please.
Go for it.
All joking aside, brilliant, highly fashionable. I know Rocco came here. This will be funny. This is the type of stuff that would get put into a fashion blog. Mm-hmm. If you went to Milan, if you were in Italy for Fashion Week.
On the streets of Harajuku.
People would interview you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is streetwear right here.
This is.
It's all branded.
This is what it's all about. This is the new Supreme.
It's all branded.
Zoom down, please.
And if you want proof of what the new Supreme is, I mean,
fucking socks.
Whoa.
Hold on.
See?
Sweet.
Does that say sour?
Oh, fuck. We're sour. No.
It's
Spicy.
Wait, you want to see something cool?
It's in Old English. What?
What?
Just like grandma.
What?
What?
I don't know what that means. I have no clue what that means. And the beanie says that too. It says like on the back.
You know,
it says like just like grandma or straight from grandma or something.
McDonald's. Look,
what does that say?
Listen.
From grandma with love. What does that mean? What is the grandma?
Can I tell everybody out there what it means to be an artist?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't rise to the top of being an artist by being fucking tame, right?
True.
If you put on a shirt and tie and a fucking stupid dad hat,
you putt.
Nobody's gonna look at you and be like, "Wow, that guy's fucking changing shit."
Yeah.
When you look like Rocco, that's pushing the fucking boundary.
That's an influencer.
Yeah. That's shit nobody else is gonna wear, and people are gonna look at that and be like, "What the fuck? Yeah. Who has the balls to wear that?"
Exactly.
And then somebody be like, "Well, I do," and then they start imitating you.
Right.
If you're not the craziest fucking guy in the group, you're not the artist. You're the follower.
Yeah.
Can
exactly.
I give my review of his outfit?
Oh yeah, your turn. You go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, keep it simple. You're right, Sean.
Nice.
Garrett, if you could just sing Rocco's praises, if you could do one musical phrase to sum up how you feel.
Ba da ba ba ba. Sean stole my joke.
It wasn't that original. It wasn't
I know,
that
but I now thinking of something on the spot, I would hearken back to. I mean, not since the Hamburglar have I seen a better dressed gentleman.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was an insult.
No, it's not an insult.
I'm the only one.
You are missing the pants.
They don't have
sweatpants or pajama bottoms.
A real dedication, you would have located some sort of McDonald's pants. But
well, who's to say what I'm wearing under these?
Let's see it.
Wait till the end. You got to save something.
Mickey D's right. Nuts.
But also, if you need proof.
Couple McNuggets.
If you need proof, this two pack's not for sale.
A little bit of the Szechuan sauce.
If you need further proof that McDonald's is the new supreme, mm-hmm. look no further than your local McDonald's. Go there and ask for any of these clothes. They ain't got them.
They don't got them.
Yep,
there.
Sold out.
Hard to get.
Oh,
yeah. So
nice.
So that's really what it's all about.
Okay, so no. I'm gonna continue this interview.
Yeah. Okay.
What's your favorite piece?
I'm not wearing it, but at home there's at home there's a gray pullover that's really nice, and it's got black arches.
Okay, well, which of what you could show us, what are you most proud of?
Definitely, you know, the classic brim. These are employee issue, and regular people aren't supposed to have
them.
Oh,
wait, lose the beanie for a second.
Yeah.
We'll bring it back, but
you are like full time cook now. That is
now
so dope.
Cool. Yeah,
this is what the dads at home will wear. You know, they'll pick and choose what they take, but Rocco style beanie on top, beanie and two headgear.
Yeah.
What the fuck is wrong with my brain? Two pieces of headgear.
Two beanie headgear.
I kind of like them. Yeah, I like
now,
both
all right.
At the same time.
So I'm the Barbara Walters of this fashion interview. I have to know, and I don't bullshit me. The people at home want to know. What did this outfit run you? Now, before you answer,
yeah.
I watch so many fashion videos where they go up to these kids wearing streetwear, and these kids don't hesitate. $200 for the shirt, $400 for the watch, $500 hat, $600 pants, probably $2,500 for the whole outfit.
I want you
to lay it out like that, all right?
All right. I'm going to be real, and I'm giving, you know, gentlemen do not discuss prices, but I will discuss today. I guess today I'm not a gentleman.
Today you're no dollar
check this
menu.
Out.
Raw.
Okay, you want to get real?
Yeah.
I found the way to order items for your McDonald's franchise from the company, and everything was at cost. So everything was about $4
total.
Now
go through each item.
What was
everything was $4 except the hoodie. I think was $8.
Oh wow!
That's it.
That's a hell of a deal.
Yeah. So that Dude. So if you find access to McDonald's corporate clothing account, you can get a lot of stuff.
All right.
I found a way to do this for a lot of different
under
companies.
Under $30.
Yeah. So I'm going to be Little Caesars'd out in a future podcast.
Oh,
so get ready for that.
And you found all of them.
Don't sleep on the T-shirt with a very simple logo of just the French fries.
They had shirts.
Just the fries.
They had shirts that had a lot of words on them, like you know, I'd like a Coke or you know whatever.
Yeah.
These just have the fries. I'm going classic fries.
This is last year for Christmas. I had in my cart, I found an Office Depot hoodie that was like for the company.
Oh,
and I
dude.
Almost got it for you. And the last minute, I was like, this is so fucking weird.
No,
and
I would have worn
got
that.
Got rid of it.
Oh, man.
But I guess I should have.
I was this close. I was on. I was. I don't know why I was searching all this stuff, but I was so close to having this pullover Red Lobster hoodie. But
all right. I want to have a little. I'm going to make up a game here.
Wow.
It's called Which Would Rocco Wear? We're going to compete. We're going to suggest a piece of corporate apparel. Mm-hmm. It could be a Walmart sweater. It could be a Spencer Gifts beanie. We're each going to say something.
Okay.
And Rocco's going to pick which one he would take.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
We'll do it one-on-one.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So we'll do bracket elimination. Okay. Me versus Garrett first.
Okay. I'm ready.
All right.
Got
you go ahead. What do you got?
Pornhub windbreaker. With just the simple black windbreaker with that orange Pornhub logo right here on the chest and on the back.
That's going to lose out for sure. He's not going to wear that.
Yeah. I'm going to say Arby's pants.
Arby's pants.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't do.
An uprising corporation.
I don't go to rep Pornhub.
I don't go to Pornhub, but I love roast beef.
All right.
Oh, come on.
I know Rocco better than Garrett now.
They got roast beef on Pornhub, baby. I'll tell you what.
Now it's me versus Sean. I'll go first. Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to say a Halloween mask of the hometown buffet B.
Oh, well, fuck. Okay,
wow.
A mask. An AutoZone polo shirt.
These are two things I would never wear on a regular thing.
But
AutoZone,
today.
I would look like an employee, but the bee mask might be too obscure for some people. But at least you get some use out of the bee mask.
Thinking outside the box, Derek.
Yeah, a polo shirt I would never wear, but a bee mask would be funny.
But if it was an AutoZone beanie, would you wear it?
Yes.
I won my own game. Polo All right, shirt. And now polo loser's shirt. Bracket, you guys got to go.
Okay.
Who's in second place?
I mean, we both lost, so yeah, let's figure it out.
Battle
okay, you got
second.
One, Sean?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm just going to say, this is easy.
Okay.
Padres hat.
Oh, what?
Just that.
What?
Garrett.
Just that.
He just tossed you a...
Yeah, a fucking freebie.
Okay, fine.
No, okay, no.
They
no,
sell
no,
them now and I don't buy them.
Loved you.
I know.
Loved it.
I'm ready for another...
He set me up.
Pornhub or...
Come on.
RedTube.
No.
Take it easy.
No, okay, go hard. Come on, you guys. Try hard.
Okay, I'm going to play...
Fine,
Do your best.
I'm going to play to his favorites.
Okay.
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 I'm going to go socks from MySpace Music.
Okay.
That's good.
That's pretty good.
Oh, fuck. That's hard.
This guy's already got
locked and loaded.
The Twitter jacket and...
Fuck,
MySpace.
Because he loves Facebook pants.
He loves old stuff, like old defunct companies. Like we make the Woolworths joke, you know.
Okay, and so Sean, come
Sears.
On.
Okay.
Clock's winding down here.
Dead Journal hoodie.
Oh.
I would be too embarrassed. Dead Journal is like too silly.
Too embarrassing.
MySpace is the right thing.
MySpace
Garrett wins.
Socks. Okay.
MySpace
right.
Music socks.
I'm the loser.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
For the first time in my life, I am the loser.
Well, I just don't know where you're coming from with Padres hat.
Yeah, what
I could
the
get
hell?
A Padres hat. You have
could.
One.
I know.
But why would I wear that versus like a KFC shirt?
I just don't think
shirt.
You would ever wear that. That's something that you would never wear.
He
so
was
I
trying to
see
lose.
What else you could go.
Oh, you're trying to big up your boy. I see.
Yeah. Anyways.
Good job, Sean.
Yeah.
Love you too.
I just thought Sean knew me better than that.
I don't know you at all.
I don't understand.
Back to me.
What, bonus round?
Yeah. A Morpheus hoodie.
What's a Morpheus hoodie?
What does that mean?
What is
from
that?
The, you
the fuck is wrong with this
fucker?
Guy?
Do you look like Morpheus from the Matrix?
That torrent site Morpheus?
Oh, that's good. I thought he meant the fucking dude.
I did too.
Not Lawrence Fishburne.
Dude, I'm blue pilled.
Dude, yeah. Or a Kazaa hoodie.
All right.
Or.
Okay, that or Rocco. I got the competition. A Bonsai Buddy condom.
Oh.
A Bonsai Buddy condom?
Yes.
Oh, dude.
Put that in a
give me
curio
a pack.
Cabinet.
I'm pretty sure those aren't good anymore.
Give me a pack, and you know what? I'll never use them.
I win!
On purpose, to preserve them.
Right. Yeah, well, you set that on the shelf, you know.
Well, unless wedding night, that one special night where it's, you know, baby, you mean so much to me. Usually on a honeymoon. I wouldn't be using a condom, but this is so special.
Yeah, you want to last.
And
the Bonsai Buddy condom.
And that night, I'll hear the same thing Bonsai Buddy has always heard.
Yeah, because it makes noise.
Which is, close this.
Well, hopefully, she looks like the Bonsai Buddy as well.
What?
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 Theme song.
You guys aren't into great
theme
bakes?
Song.
Runs down in front of my back. Well, that, my friends, is quite yucky. But I have to admit that the ladies get smitten, admiring how sharply my first name is written on you with a Sharpie when I get to hitting on them to help me get lucky. Red Solo Cup, I fill you up. Let's have a party. Let's have a party. I love you, Red Solo Cup.
Welcome back to the podcast. Derek couldn't, unfortunately, swing it.
He was never here.
Yeah.
We found him.
Look who turned. Look, you're late.
Magic trick. How'd he do it?
You've always
been where'd this come from?
A lover of magic.
What?
What? You're supposed to cut away. We'll work on that later.
Meg, yeah. Mm.
This week's theme song was Red Solo Cup by Toby Keith. Good old fashioned Toby Keith, a song about 9/11, which was
it's
respectful.
Solo Cup?
Red Solo Cup.
It's about 9/11.
About 9/11. Break a foot off in your cup, the first courtesy of the USA.
We're going to fuck you up. Red Solo Cup, we're coming to fuck you up.
That's what it means.
Margarita's 2-for-1. Yum, yum, support the troops.
Yum, yum, get your gun.
Get some.
Yum, yum, get your gun. Get a fun yun. Have some fun.
By Toby Keith.
By Toby,
locked
by
and loaded,
Toby Keith,
Tubbs.
And Jimmy Buffett. Jimmy Buffett, the whitest fucking person you've ever seen. That's the name of his new best of greatest hits album.
Seven versions of Margaritaville.
The whitest fucking person in Margaritaville.
Margarita remix. Margarita on the rocks.
We don't need to be racist against Jimmy Buffett.
That.
Okay,
why,
we're bigger than that.
You know, I don't. I'm not racist.
Jimmy Buffett,
but
didn't deserve
really
that.
Don't like him.
No, wait. Put this quote on my tombstone, or I'll get a tattoo. Whatever comes first. I'm not racist, but wait. I forgot what I was going to say.
Just stop there.
I'm not racist, but does it something about Jimmy Buffett? Something involving.
But parrot heads should definitely.
I don't. No. The quote would be. I don't mean to be racist against Jimmy Buffett, but ..
I don't.
I'll make sure that's on your tombstone.
Okay.
If you don't get the tattoo first.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cut that.
I forgot we had that.
I'm not racist against Jimmy Buffett, but you wouldn't catch me living in Margaritaville.
You wouldn't catch me being a... Doesn't he call them like cheeseburger heads?
Parrot heads.
Parrot heads.
Oh, parrot heads.
And you hit the thing.
Which guy? I fucking hate that guy.
You hit the thing.
Yes, hello.
Oh, that's the lawyer's calling.
Uh-oh.
It was my mom.
The Buffett police.
She must have heard me being racist towards Margaritaville.
Derek, you know better than that.
Whoops. I raised you better than that.
You love Buffett.
We played Buffett for you all
Jimmy.
The time.
Well, anyway, we can talk about normal stuff, too. That we're capable of all things on this podcast.
You were
does that mean fucking video games?
Yeah, normal stuff. Normal human being stuff. Did you actually get the new Mario Party?
Did I?
Yeah.
I did.
Oh, you did?
I got it, and I played it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Switched it up.
And let me tell you, they fucking fixed that game. It sucked for the last
three. Yeah, what was the deal with that?
They would made it so you're all in the same car, and then the board is bigger, and then when you roll, the whole car with everybody else moves. And it's fucking stupid.
I hated it. The competition aspect was removed.
Yeah, it was like, it was a board game. Now I don't know what the fuck we're doing. Why did you change this up?
Right.
Now it's back to the board game. The boards, there's like 5 of them. That's fine. I don't care if there's not more than that. They're not that big, and it's fun again, and I'm trying to get to the star before Emma does, and it's great. The mini games are great. Like, it honestly is like, oh, we finally get a Mario Party game, and it's been, I feel like, a decade. So,
yeah.
I really recommend it. At first, it was kind of weird using the Joy-Con, because I haven't really used it sideways that much.
Oh, okay.
And I've never done 4-player with a Joy-Con, with everyone had the little thing on it. But it was great. And, like, you know what? You kind of forget how sensitive it is, and, like, with the 3D Rumble or what
yeah.
was it called?
Yeah, yeah, 3D yeah. Rumble, like, HD Rumble. Yeah. I don't know.
But
one
it
of those.
Really is like, oh man, this is like so like accurate and like you yeah. can feel things on the bottom left. It's just it's weird. It's
supposed to even in that little Joy-Con.
Yeah. So, anyways, wow. I really, really recommend it. I mean, if you have the time to be able to play it with, like solo, it's I mean, who cares? I guess, but like having a party, get that game. It's gonna be a lot of fun. So I like it. I'm in.
Yeah, you were the only one I knew that was really like gunning for that game. So I was just honestly curious because I didn't know.
The mini games are great. Like, I mean, I think we should do a friend dimension of it. Honestly, I think that'd be a ton of fun.
Yeah, yeah. I've already gotten some requests for that. Yeah, some people have already been asking for that.
Yeah, so I'll bring it in and we'll play. But yeah, it was a, fun. It was a good time. So I'm in it. I
Who's
dig
your
it.
Main character?
I've been playing Peach.
That's cool. More important question. How attracted do you feel towards Bowsette?
I didn't. Is there a Bowsette?
Oh, is there no Bowsette?
Oh, don't pretend, please. Sean.
There are Mr. Fibber. Characters I haven't gotten to. It is different. If you pick a character, obviously, but every character has their own specific dice block, and there's different like pros and cons to that dice block, and so you kind of like so strategy and just you don't just pick a random person.
You know,
it's like this person has a better dice block than this person. I'm gonna use that one.
The dice blocks. That's wonderful. How attracted to you are you to Bowsette in general?
Mm-hmm. Like some of the cosplay that I've seen.
I'm not sure.
And that you've seen.
I don't know if I've seen a Bowsette.
There's no way you didn't
Twitter.
See it.
Bowsette last week.
Is, it's this. It's going around. It's this huge thing. It's like a real popular character to cosplay as. Bowsette. Hot.
New
like
characters.
Do you know?
Hot version of Bowsette.
Do you know how this meme started? Do you know how it started?
No, give me the Toadette, history. Right? Give me the history. I'd
love
to
hear. In the new Super Mario Brothers. Remember Super Mario Brothers U? That came
yeah.
out on Wii U.
Yeah,
they're porting it to the Switch.
Okay.
So they showed a thing for it recently, like, hey, it's going to come to the Switch. We're porting it over. There's going to be a couple new things, and one of them is a crown you could get that transforms you, and it shows Toadette, the little yeah. like Toadette, little Toad girl. She puts
oh, already sexy enough.
Yeah, yeah no, Captain Toad had a great.
You know. But yeah, Toadette puts on this crown, and she becomes. It almost looks like Peach. Like she becomes like a human princess, and now she's. Toadette, I don't know what her name is now.
Princess
some more advanced form of Toadette.
Toadette.
I don't know.
Toadette.
But anyway, so a meme started where somebody drew other characters getting it. Somebody drew Bowser getting that crown. Oh, it's Peachette. Toadette yeah. becomes Peachette, which is weird. Like, what? She becomes Peach. Like, it was a very weird thing.
Just
in the game.
Peach. Yeah.
But somebody did fan art where Bowser picks up that crown and then he becomes a Peach like character, too. This really sexy, like, Bowser princess.
Yeah.
And then that's why there was all this. Yeah. Yeah. Somebody did one of Chain Chomp. Someone did one of.
Cool cosplays. I mean, really innovative stuff.
Someone did a Booette.
Oh.
It was like a ghost girl.
I would love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ah.
So it's kind of like they just did like kind of like hot girl versions of all these
characters. I was into God's
characters.
Girls. I'll check out Ghost Girls.
So, Sean, there's no way you didn't see that.
What's
everyone
the name of
that?
What's the name of that Mario character that barfs up the spike ball and throws it at you?
Spike.
I'm looking forward to Spikeette.
Yeah, that's what I want, too.
And
Spikeette.
I want a Goombaette.
I'm really Goombette. Looking forward to Spike.
Oh yeah, Goombette.
Yeah, you would think that.
Is that a racial slur?
It sounds Goombette? Like it's an Italian racial
yeah,
slur.
Yeah, I probably should. Sorry, I'll apologize in advance for Goombette.
This is the number one video game podcast on the internet. It's the second most or third most racist video game podcast on the internet. And I'm proud to not be number one in that era.
Yeah.
Anyways, Sean, now you're educated on Bowsette. I'm sure you're going to spend the rest of the night looking it up. And
tomorrow for the podcast, I'm going to have to find these
Dude,
images and throw them
yeah.
in there.
Turn off safe search.
Throw some hot ones in there.
Ooh, yeah, Sean, right now, right here, you've been saving it for the whole discussion. Post the sexiest Bowsette you found on all of Google right here.
Don't play favorites, dude. Your personal
Ooh.
Sexiest.
Whoa!
Ooh, Sean!
Nice.
Kinky!
Well,
stop.
That's what you're into? Crazy.
Wow. Owning it. He's owning it.
I would have picked somebody else.
High five, dude.
But Yikes. To each his own.
I want someone out there to do fan art of all of us in that process. Like, we each took the crown and we become a hot princess. So, what, you know,
Rocket.
What would that look like? Rocket, Darrett. Garrett.
Oh. Garrett.
Hey!
I would be Garrettette.
Long girl hair.
Garrettette.
Skinny girl body.
You would just do Rocco with the McDonald's, like sexy yeah. McDonald's outfit.
Yeah!
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
if
yeah.
an artist out there Rockette. Knows how to do that.
Like Rockette!
Yeah, but don't, I mean, that's copywritten, but show us your best artwork. Thank you very much. The best artwork, you will win a prize.
What's the prize?
I don't know.
Retweet from Rocco.
Will you
retweet?
Cool prize.
Will you send them their very own McDonald's?
You'll get a piece of McDonald's gear.
Okay.
You get a piece of certified McDonald's gear.
You're gonna part with some merch.
It's a good deal.
Tight.
It's a very good deal. There's other socks I didn't even wear. So
give them a warning.
Those are yours. Well, there were two pairs. They were both sweet and both spicy. But I mixed them up.
So you did that.
Yeah.
Derek, you're right. He is a fucking fashion trendsetter here. He's mixing, he's matching, he's putting together a wardrobe.
There's no way McDonald's corporate would release mismatched socks together in one package.
The thought that goes into it.
You got to buy them both and mix match them yourself.
McDonald's really dropping the ball because they could be a sponsor easy.
Yeah, and also not even just with us, but with McDonald's marketing in general. Why isn't there like a sexy McDonald's princess? Like they could have been doing that for years.
Ronette.
I want to see that too. Ronald McDonald get the crown.
Some red curly hair or something.
Hamburglar get the crown. Burglarette.
That's.
Why are there so few female McDonald's characters in the McDonald's pantheon? There's like Grimace's little sister.
What are the fry?
And that's it.
Grimette,
and that's it. You're telling me in the whole McDonald's universe, the only girl to offer any companionship is Grimette?
No, do you know her name?
How many people have hooked
it's
up
Birdie,
with
Birdie?
How many? Oh, it's Birdie.
It's Birdie.
How many people have hooked up with Birdie?
She's yellow.
Oh, yeah. She could be Birdette. Jack in the Box could get the crown, and he becomes Jacket.
Wait, if Birdette puts on the crown, maybe she becomes Birdo from Mario 2.
Yeah. Boom! Spits those eggs.
That egg at you. Oh, I'm getting scared.
I'm getting horny. Sorry,
cut that. I
like
the game. So if you want to get Mario Party.
You recommend it. It's a good get your rocks off with Toadette.
You know what? When I bought it, there were like 2 copies left. Like it was like sold out.
I got invited over to play it last night.
Yeah, I didn't realize it'd be such a huge hit. But everywhere I went was gone. So
let me know.
Yeah, I heard that. A game I was dying to play. I just did not have time this weekend. Was Fist of the North Star, the new Fist of the North Star game. Didn't you play that? How did Garrett have time and not me? What happened?
My girlfriend's out of town for the weekend.
Oh, okay. What do you like it?
Yes.
That's a yes.
I'm a big fan.
That's a big yes.
I've been waiting for, like, this seems like such a little...
Did you watch the anime?
Oh,
Garrett's had posters for that in his house forever.
Forever, like, getting into anime, one of the first things was Fist of the North Star and, like, Vampire Hunter D. The films.
Yeah, okay.
Fist of the North Star is like, one of my favorites. So I was waiting. I had this game pre-ordered once Amazon announced they were taking the pre-order kind of deals down.
Is it a fighting game? Like
it's
fighters?
A Yakuza game, basically.
Oh, okay.
It's by that team.
Same team. Yeah. And it's like, it's funny because that's all I've really been playing lately. And now I'm jumping back into, I'm starting another one, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
But I've been having fun playing that. It's exactly kind of what I thought it would be. A Yakuza game.
Okay.
Just a little older looking. I think it runs on a different engine.
And is a little more extreme,
obviously.
Super
gory? Super violent?
Yeah.
It's got the hyper violence and all the gore and all the story and everything from the anime. So yeah, it's definitely there.
What's the most hyper violent thing you've experienced in the game so far?
There are a series of finishing moves. Like when you go... Like in Yakuza, you kind of run into a random encounter.
Yeah.
Then you start fighting and, you know, there's like a finishing move where you'll take out a weapon or pick up a bike and hit them. This is like always to kill an enemy, you give them a finishing move, which in this anime franchise are these like pressure point martial arts.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the most gory ones are the triangle ones that I've noticed. There's like square. It's interesting because I hate quick time events, but the finishing moves are QTEs, essentially.
Oh, okay.
But if you don't hit them, no penalty. It's just not as powerful.
Yeah, it makes it cooler if you do.
Yeah, it makes
but that's
it. It gives you more points. I think it does more damage on combos.
Mm-hmm.
But you can pretty much get through it if you miss the QTEs, you're fine. So I'm good. But the triangle QTEs are these like... always like in the head or face with like thumb in the fucking temple. And like Fist of the North Star always has like digits going into the body. So like his thumb goes like into a dude's head and then he swings that dude around into another guy.
Oh.
And then there's always the after effect of them like pulsating and bulging and hemorrhaging and then explosion and fountains of blood.
That's awesome. Of course. And people are saying they cranked up the violence for the Western release.
Oh, thank God.
It's really interesting. It's really interesting.
No sex, but violence.
Yeah, it's, because, you know, if you want to cut it over here, we've seen some shit already.
So. No, it's just interesting because so many things get released in Japan. And then, you know, back in the, I mean, a lot of them, I mean, over my lifetime, I've seen so many things come from Japan and get censored when they bring them here.
Yeah.
But when it comes to gore, it really is the opposite. Like, even I remember playing Resident Evil 4 and going, damn, there's some grody shit in this game.
Oh, the kill
and
scenes.
The Japanese one doesn't have them. Like, here, you, when the I think the worst thing in a game that I've seen in terms of violence,
mm-hmm.
I think maybe still to date, and you tell me if you disagree, is when the bugs catch you in Resident Evil 4 and they acid onto you and your head just rots off.
Yeah.
That to me was still like, damn, that's shocking. That it's rare that something in that game would shock me like that, when and
Leon's,
it did.
When Leon's head gets chainsawed off and falls
that's
back.
That's pretty bad, too.
You know what?
That's pretty bad, too.
For me.
But something was weird about the acid thing to
honestly,
me. That was just extra
that
creepy.
That stuff was kind of classic, yeah, horror movie. It was all, I felt like the Call of Duty games, as they went more on, and it was more realistic. Like, yeah, fucking slit this guy's throat. It was this is less entertaining than like Resident Evil.
Yeah.
It's more like, ooh.
How about, I was going to say, airport Call of Duty scene.
That's what I was going to say.
Like, as an honorable mention of like, whoa, here's some shocking shit that video games are starting to do.
But anyway, the Resident Evil thing, I remember being shocked by all that, and then the Japanese version came out, and none of that's in there.
Yeah.
Good for them.
It's like, it's just weird. It's like dismemberment and stuff is for some reason like, hey, if it's gory, throw that in here. But then over there, it's like, no, you don't show limbs and heads coming off. You don't.
But they can do body horror. With their horror films, it's another realm, I guess.
Yeah. It's just, it knocks it into a way worse rating.
Yeah.
Than here, where it's just kind of like, it's all M, you know. But it's just interesting.
Interesting.
I always think that's funny.
But yeah, very violent and serious video game, but a lot of humor.
Yeah.
Like the mini game stuff, like all Yakuza games, there's so many mini game kind of things.
Yeah.
So you're bartending, you're doing like things with the motion control of the PlayStation controller, which is nice.
Yeah.
Like I haven't used DualShock for motion control stuff in I don't know what the last thing was.
Yeah.
So this adds some elements of stuff like that, like shaking cocktails or like stirring drinks, stuff like that.
Going back to, sorry, not to derail from that, but going back to violence.
Yeah.
Has there ever been, now, when that happened in Resident Evil, when I mentioned his head coming off,
it was
like, ah, yikes, but it was like in tone with the kind of crazy nature of the game.
Oh, dude, it's
so
a
environment. It didn't upset me.
Shit fits right in.
Yeah, it didn't upset me. It was just like, oh, holy shit. Has there ever been violence in a game where you just thought, fuck you, that, ew. Like, it was upset, because I'll say, for me, a lot of the deaths in that first Tomb Raider, that re-release of Tomb Raider, or not re-release, the reboot.
It was uncomfortable.
When it was like the pole going through her throat and stuff like that, it wasn't.
Yeah, there was.
That didn't, to me, add anything to the game. I was just like, okay.
There was a lot. There's something.
That was like upsetting to me.
Yeah, there was something to that.
I laughed.
Derek laughed. Oh, okay.
It was the type of violence that happens to Leon. But it happening to like, this character,
but you know what? To me, it wasn't. I think it's the context of the game, because Resident Evil is full of crazy shit. I don't care.
These were just like pirates.
But this would be like, I'm just going about my merry way. Ah! Pull through my throat. Yeah, I wasn't like ready for that.
No,
you know what I mean?
We talked about that when that game came out. Like, it was uncomfortable watching.
You know what? For me,
scenes.
It's not even the act itself. It's the importance placed upon it. It's a storytelling thing. So in Resident Evil, it's a scary game. You're in a scary environment, so scary stuff like that happens. But I feel like Tomb Raider is more of an action movie. So I don't need the excessive violence that makes me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, they wouldn't do that in Indiana Jones.
And that's
why
I feel like, again, with action games as opposed to horror games, I'm more accepting to the super violence and gore in a horror game. But in an action game, it kind of just like rubs me the wrong way. Because I also feel like, in a way, it's a moral thing where I feel like, well, this is kind of normalizing this violence because this is a game where you're the hero and you're expected to portray this. You know, we're in like a horror game. It's you're kind of fleeing that kind of violence. I don't know. Maybe that's me just getting on a soapbox, but I think about that kind of stuff.
There are a lot of games that you die all the time and that kind of stuff happens fine. But there are times where, like, the cutscene of your death is like 30 seconds.
It's I think that might have been it.
I got it.
Because with the Tomb Raider thing, it's definitely that.
And then, especially you get to a part where you can't beat and you have to see it like 35 times. Like, holy shit, I know.
Yeah, but it's Tomb Raider. So if that was happening in a Silent Hill game, you'd be like, oh shit, Silent Hill's fucking intense.
Yeah.
Because it's a scary game.
Yeah. But that's what I mean, context.
Tomb Raider is like Indiana Jones. Oh, wow. What a trip.
And somebody, people poor were mentioning Laura. In the chat, Indiana Jones had like faces melting. That is so comical.
Yeah, that
though.
Doesn't.
That is scary. Not. There is not a scene of Indiana Jones for 45 seconds dealing with an impaled throat. That would not be in there. A face melting is hilarious.
To that effect, like, you know, I watch westerns and movies by this director, Sergio Leone, and he would always do something in his movies that always made me feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But I really found it interesting in his movies. He would make westerns and like gangster movies where somebody would get shot, and normally they'd be shot, and then they'd fall down, and then we'd just cut away. And the scene would go on, but he would always cut back to the person like a few seconds later, and the person would just be shot, just like...
Yeah.
Like still alive and kind of writhing and like scared. And it was always like, oh fuck, like that's just too far. Like when they're shot and we cut away, okay, we're in the middle of an action scene. Yeah. I'm with you. But then you cut back to everybody's ignoring this guy who's squirming and slowly, and like,
slowly dying.
And it starts to make you feel uncomfortable. And I think that's kind of the same thing with Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
It's not so much that they're doing it, but it's like they're just showing you a bit too much.
Yeah, yeah.
Where you're really starting to think about how really awful it is.
Yeah, and or just real quick, watching it on screen in a film is a little removed. You're watching this happen to another person. And like watching this happen to another female character in a film, I think, is different than I'm playing the avatar of this character. Like this is happening to me. Oh, fuck, this is horribly and violent. And it's continuing to happen for this 45-second gap. Whereas I can see that on screen a little easier than... Like, I don't know, in a game.
I don't know. I feel it's the same to me personally. I mean, everybody's different.
Yeah. Right?
But I don't remember what I was going to add to that.
You were probably going to talk about Marble It Up.
Oh, no. I was going to say, people talking about the heart-ripping out scene in Temple of Doom freaked them out as a kid. Yeah, it freaked me out, too.
That freaked me out, too.
That definitely freaked me out.
I never saw that
the face melting freaked me out.
Oh, you know what? I saw that real young.
It's funny. Star Wars and Indiana Jones, and I don't know if there's anybody else out there like this, but for me, I watch those on television and never on like VHS or in a theater. Like,
okay.
I only experienced those on USA on a Saturday for like the first 12 years of my life.
Yeah.
It wasn't until I was about 13 years old I saw Star Wars, and I was probably like 16 when I first sat down to watch Indiana Jones.
Interesting.
Actually, like, let's put the tape in and watch the uncensored version. Huh. So I never saw the heart scene. I never saw the super excessive stuff. It always just go to commercial break and be like, I really like this movie.
Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. I watched a lot of tapes.
Same here. It was like it was honestly my
I watched a lot of tapes. My family didn't have those movies.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, there were certain ones my family did and didn't,
which
too.
Is weird. Like, what family doesn't have Star Wars and Indiana Jones?
Well, my family didn't have. It's weird. We had Indiana Jones, but my family never owned Star Wars.
Yeah,
ever. And so I saw fragments of those on TV. Like, I'd be flipping, you know, to channel 3 to put on Nintendo. And then I would go past it and be like, whoa, it's like the end, you know, the chase through Endor, the forest. Oh, that's cool.
You know what?
Oh, commercial. Okay. And I wouldn't see anymore, but it wasn't, I was just going to say it wasn't until junior high that they started putting out the special editions.
Yeah, theaters.
And they were like, from now on, this is going to be the new version. We're not going to sell this one anymore.
Yeah,
and,
me too.
That's, and I remember really being at, I remember being at Costco with my grandma and saying, I heard they're not going to sell this anymore. The original. I didn't know what they were talking about. Like the original Star Wars trilogy. And my grandma was like, those are film history. Well, you should have those. That. And she got me the box set. And I went home and watched it and just went. It was like Artie doing heroin. It was just, I finished Return of the Jedi, like, this is going to be a fucking problem. Yeah. Play that again. Like, I was in love with them. Oh my God. And I remember earlier in life, I remember seeing walls of Star Wars figures at Toys R Us, and I would walk past them just to get like one little Power Ranger thing.
Right.
And I remember my dad going, thank God you're not into that shit. And then it just hit me. I was like in like sixth or seventh grade, just like, oh fuck. Oh, I gotta get Shadows of the Empire. And then it was all downhill from there. Anyway. What were you gonna say?
It's almost more magical for me when it was on TV before I watched the movies, you know? Because I would just see random scenes.
Yeah,
and I wouldn't know anything. So it's like, oh, they're on the desert. Oh, okay. Wow, now he's got a green lightsaber. That's cool. Like, didn't know he had a blue one because I'd be watching Return of the Jedi.
You can't piece them together.
Yeah, and
though.
So for me, Star Wars was this infinite well. Like, every few years, I would just see a new Star Wars thing. Like, oh, there's that golden robot again.
Yeah.
Oh, this is Star Wars. Wow, they're on some other adventure. So it was this, in my mind, super expansive thing.
How
before
weird.
Before I ever saw the films, I just saw, wow, they're fighting in the snow. They're fighting in the fucking trees. He's got a green lightsaber. He's got a blue lightsaber. They're fighting in fucking space. Like, this shit goes fucking everywhere.
Yeah.
I just realized you're kind of reminding me of, you know, I said earlier my parents had these tapes recorded off HBO.
Yeah.
As a kid, I only had Empire and Jedi.
You never saw New Hope?
I had up until 1999 when they re-released it in theaters.
Whoa, you never saw the first one?
Wow.
I had never seen A New Hope. And I remember that was a big deal because the re-release of the, not HD, what do they call them? Special editions.
Yeah, special editions.
Versions. It came out on my birthday. It was January 31st was when A New Hope premiered in theaters. And that's what I wanted to do for my birthday. And it was like, I got to see A New Hope in theaters for the first time.
Wow.
And I had avoided it. Damn. But every time I was sick, those were the tapes I stayed home from school and watched, like Empire and Return of the Jedi. And I knew them back to back. But it was like with a lot of movies. I didn't know there were earlier ones. It never occurred to me like, oh shit, there's one before this. I wasn't here back then.
Yeah.
Like, I'm now not
we're
old,
old
enough.
And we know everything. Yeah. We've already discovered all the cool shit. The only stuff left to discover now is lame shit. This is why people who are old are fucking grumpy.
Well, they could discover
young
Mega 64.
Young kids get to discover Mega 64. I already know all about it. I think it's boring.
Yeah.
You know what's funny about that? Good. Ironically, Garrett, is that was me. That was Indiana Jones for me. Is
really?
I mentioned I had them on tape, but I had 2 and 3, and I watched those a million times. And they were like, these are like two of the best adventure movies ever. And then it wasn't until after high school, it was like, you never seen Raiders of the Lost Ark? I was like, no, I never sat. I had seen, culturally, I was aware of a lot of the stuff in it. Mm-hmm. It's hard not to be, but I never sat down and watched the whole thing until I think either late high school or after high school. And I sat down and watched it, and I was like, this is not nearly as good as the other two.
The other one? Raiders is my favorite.
Yeah. It's
Last Crusade's the best one.
I think the third is the best one.
Yeah, that's
good. I just think I saw the first one too late.
Kevin, you're a Mutt Williams guy?
Yeah.
Four?
No, three.
I thought I heard him mumble four over there.
What's the movie that you waited the longest to watch, and when you finally watched it, it like blew your mind, like, oh, this is not what I thought it was? For me, it was First Blood.
So blew you away in a good way?
Yeah.
Oh,
like,
okay.
I had always thought Rambo was like him in Afghanistan with bazookas, and I was like, a little bit corny for my taste. And somebody's like, no.
Yeah.
Watch First Blood, because I like cinematic 70s, you know, kind of gritty movies, and I wasn't expecting First Blood to be that, kind of just like this, you know, subtle tale that builds, and it's just like real cinematic. And I realized, wow, any movie that spawns four sequels has to be fucking good. So, you know, any movie out there that has four or more movies in the franchise, I'll always give the first one a shot.
I think I agree with you. I never saw any of the Rambo movies until they came out in a Blu-ray box set, and you told me kind of about this.
Oh, yeah?
And I watched the first one, and I was fucking affected by it. It was like, I thought this was dumb action movies. This is the story of this guy coming back from Vietnam, and nobody, there's no place for him, and the world is different. And, oh, my God. It honestly affected me. And then I watched the other ones, and it was like, this is gross. Like that first one is so poignant that I couldn't watch these sequels that were just dumb, like, you know what I mean? Like, I couldn't, that seeing them all at once, it ruined the other ones for me. I couldn't do it.
Was there any movie for you guys where people were like, you have to watch it? Like, I'm not watching that. And then you finally watched it and I was like, oh shit.
Yeah,
that was fucking good.
The first Terminator.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you guys told me forever. I watched it last year and I thought that movie fucking ruled.
Yeah.
That was great. And then Terminator 2, I watched and thought, it wasn't as good.
That's so fucked up.
Hey, you know what? We talked about, like, my family didn't have Star Wars growing up. We had Terminator 2. So that was the movie that I would always, like, oh, free time in the afternoon, let's pop in Terminator 2. Yeah. But what about you?
For me, around the same time as the Star Wars thing, which I think I said 99 earlier, but that was like 96 or 7. Yeah. And around that same time, I was going to a Halloween party around the same time of year. And my friends were telling me all weeks up to it, we're going to watch A Clockwork Orange.
Oh, okay.
We've got from the Spice Channel, my friend recorded Channel 99.
Oh,
Spice Channel.
Oh.
We've got the Boop Channel.
That
was on. We've got a copy of A Clockwork Orange, this X-rated movie, this banned horror film or whatever. They talked it up. My friends were like,
well, I think
older
in the UK it may have been.
Yeah. It was a video nasty of its era. Yeah. And, you know, like, I looked up to all these punk kids I was hanging out with, and I'm like, oh, what's this fucking movie?
Yeah.
What's this porno?
It's going to blow my mind. Yeah, like, what is this fucking... And there is, like...
Clockwork Orange.
There's a lot of rape scenes in Stanley Kubrick's A Clockwork Orange.
Yes,
and I had not seen...
As opposed to Jim Henson's.
So, like, this party happens, and everyone's hanging out, and we're watching A Clockwork Orange as planned. And I have never seen, you know, like I said, my parents had some Star Wars and The Breakfast Club and Ghostbusters and shit on tape. But now I'm getting to see some Kubrick, baby. And I was fucking freaked out. Like, too much for me.
Yeah.
Some of the violence and stuff like that was like, holy shit.
I've seen it once. I did not like it.
No, I didn't like it either. Yeah.
So I really was affected and then turned off for years like that. Oh, I remember that movie. That was too much. Fuck that. And then something like maybe 2-3 years later, probably around senior year, I gave it maybe back in my film is lit class, learning more about filmmaking and getting way into Kubrick. I went back and that has fucking cemented itself as like my absolute favorite Stanley Kubrick movie now.
That one is.
I love A Clockwork
Orange. More than The Shining or any of that?
Yep.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Which... It's interesting. It affected me in such a negative way, but it impacted on me in that way.
Yeah.
That made me so curious. I don't know. It's that thing for me, like, was definitely A Clockwork Orange, that it was like hyped up and then overwhelming. And then I had to like cool on it for a couple of years to come back to it, to appreciate it.
I would say too, in terms of the descriptor that you said of like being something where the people who told me, like, I'm like, no thanks, you know, like having that attitude of like, yeah, not gonna watch that, especially like who's recommending it to you or whatever.
Yeah.
I would say another two big ones are Fight Club, because everyone who told me about it was definitely not someone that the point landed on of that movie.
They just thought it was cool.
So fucking cool, these guys fucking fight, you know, all this like,
dude, we should have
all this like
do that
all this hyper masculinity shit, and then you see the movie and it's like, oh, the movie's a fucking commentary on it, and it's brilliant, and it's shot so well. And then Mean Girls.
Mean Girls is a good movie.
Mean Girls is like, I'm not going to watch it. Lindsay Lohan's new comedy? Are you fucking kidding me? It's a great movie.
It's a good movie.
So, yeah, those
Tina Fey wrote it, right? Movies.
Yeah, Tina Fey and Tim Meadows wrote together, I think. It's good. It's good.
Tim Meadows was super good on this. Johnny Pemberton had a Fox sitcom.
Pemberton.
It was called... It was like a half animated, half live, it was live action, but there was an animated component to it. Did anyone see this?
No.
Like current TV stuff?
No.
Damn.
No
one's going to know. He played the dad. He was fucking great on it. I forget. You sleep on Tim Meadows.
Looking at the chat, it's like everyone's like, Mean Girls rules. Everyone like likes Mean Girls. Like
Son
that
of
movie
Zorn.
Really pulled it off. Like, good. Yeah.
It's great.
It's so weird that like that movie was able to like everyone's like, yeah, good movie.
What's wrong with Mean Girls?
Nothing. That's my point. But like
I've never seen it.
Seeing the trailer or seeing the box art, it's like
Lindsay Lohan didn't have a lot of like real great films. So that one being as good as it is kind of like, oh wow,
Herbie?
It's surprising.
I like Mean Girls. I like Heathers.
I don't like Heathers.
I love Heathers.
I never saw
it. I like her latest film.
I might like Heathers better than Mean Girls.
I like her latest Facebook stream where she tried to save a family.
I even like...
they pushed her down onto the ground.
What? Yeah. Lindsay Lohan tried to take someone's kid or something?
She said there was some like child trade thing going on.
She was live streaming.
I don't know.
Fuck yeah, Lilo.
She was live streaming like, I'm going to help these refugees. Come, will you come with me? Will you... Not him. The mother and the children or whatever. And she's like interfering. I didn't see it. I just heard the audio. And they push. She tries to like grab someone at one point.
They punch her in the face.
And push her down.
My favorite recent Lindsay Lohan video was her dancing to her song Rumors from a million years ago. And there's a Mega 64 fan in the video.
Yeah.
There is literally in the background of she's dancing on some beach in Greece. And there is a dude sitting in the background watching with a classic logo shirt.
Dude, we're just everywhere. Like,
yeah. Hell yeah.
So weird.
Rocking the Lohan.
Maybe you can put us in contact.
I'd love to have her on the show.
I would love to have Lindsay Lohan in a Mega 64 video. That would be hot.
Yeah.
I think she'd be a great podcast.
She could hook us up with Paris Hilton.
Yep.
She could hook us up with Nicole Richie. She could show us what happened to DJ Adam's stuff.
What
happened?
Because... He died. DJ AM dead. Isn't he dead?
He's DJ PM now.
DJ RIP.
PM is. I'll go with that one. Wow.
Well, it's like Tylenol.
Yeah, I get it.
Anyway, hey, real quick, everybody.
Let's do it.
Watching this. Have you been to shop.mega64.com lately?
Have you?
I have. I was there just this morning at dawn.
Looks like Sean's been there.
I went to the site. And I looked at, I perused every section, every site, every page. I clicked and clicked again. And let me tell you, what I saw blew me away. Some of the best merchandise you could ever ask for. Tonight, by the way, is the last night you can pre-order our Auto Venture shirt, which is the official shirt of Game Days 2018. Tonight's the last night you can order one of those. After tonight's kaput, if you're watching this on Tuesday, these words mean nothing to you. But shop.mega64.com has some great stuff, and you're going to want to order immediately. Also encourage you to check out patreon.com/mega64, where you'll get all kinds of great, extra, amazing material, physical gifts every quarter, and a whole lot more. Right now, today, we put up a brand new friend dimension where we play a little bit of Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah.
We play the new Spider-Man. We go on some quests. We're all wannabe Peter Parkers. You will see some web-slinging in action. See for yourself. Patreon.com/Mega64. And, by the way, if you're watching us on Twitch, guess what?
What?
They unsubbed you.
Oh,
no!
It's a new month. It is October. And Amazon, if you got the free Twitch Prime subscription, which if you have Amazon Prime, you get a free sub every month.
Yeah.
Twitch Prime, you give us a sub, and it kicks us something, and you get a whole bunch of extra stuff.
You know what?
I see him subbing.
Now I know why they call him Jeff Bezos, because he won't even let a single one go.
Yeah.
Always trying to get you.
Fucking unsubscribing us. Yeah. Fuck you, Jeff Bezos.
It's ridiculous.
Fuck off.
He's raising the minimum wage for his workers to $15 an hour.
About time.
That's great, but guess what? He tried to turn ads on our channel so that even if you had Twitch Prime, you would get ads.
What?
I guess that's his way of making the money back because our channel makes so much. Yeah, guess what? We are ad free on Twitch Prime. If you got a Twitch Prime sub, you ain't getting ads. So don't worry about that. We looked out for you.
Jeff Bezos don't like it. Deal with it. Yeah. Bitch.
Well, you can gift subs because someone just gifted 10 subs.
You don't know about gifting subs?
No. Marty, it's all the rage. Giving out 10. Wow.
Dude,
crazy. I didn't know how you do that.
Every week on the PPS, we got homeboys gifting subs.
He has extra Amazon Prime.
Dude, accounts. Shout out.
That might be Marty Bezos.
I don't know. You could even do that.
Marty Bezos.
Yeah, you can send bits. You can gift subs. It's all fucking crazy on Twitch now.
It's all cool.
I dig it.
PCs, boners.
It's about 1,000 Mayweather fights going at once last night.
Did you watch the UFC fight last night?
Yeah, not Mayweather. Who was that?
I didn't see it. I think you're the only one here who watched it.
I saw one fight.
I don't know anything about it.
I watched most of them.
I know there was a big fight. That's it.
Yeah, I saw one. but, you know, UFC is not for me.
You know, I've been at, when I was a kid, my dad used to get the Mike Tyson
pay-per-views.
Yeah, my dad did too. And all his buddies would come over.
All his buddies would come over. Yeah. And I remember being a little boy being like, can I please watch? And it was like, I remember like, no, you are not old enough. Do not watch. A couple years, you know. And then like towards the end, like, all right, you know what? You're old enough. You can watch, you know, a couple of those quick like 1 round, 2 second knockouts.
I remember specifically. Oh, sorry.
Oh, no, I just used to go to UFC fights at my brother-in-law Sean's house before he was my brother-in-law.
Okay.
All the time because he would always get them. And then I've kind of continued that tradition. Like, I remember there was one RTX. We were in Austin. And
yeah, that was fun.
Yeah.
Me, Eric.
That was Anderson Silva versus Weedman.
Yeah.
He broke his leg, right? That guy broke his leg.
Oh,
well,
no.
That was the fight after that. That was the rematch where Anderson broke his leg. But okay. But yeah, I've been going out or actively seeing it for a long time. But you were saying when you were a kid, the fights used to come on. And
well, it was the same thing. They'd have them at my parents would have a bunch of friends over,
like,
and I could never watch
event.
It. Yeah. And then there was one year that they finally were like, okay, fine. And I remember for some reason, a specific memory, it didn't work in on our big TV downstairs. For some reason, the pay-per-view wasn't working. We had to watch it on the TV upstairs, like just in like the bedroom or whatever. And so a bunch of people piled into there just to watch it on a smaller TV. Like, okay, well, whatever. This is fine. As long as it's clear, it's working. And that was the one they let me watch. And that was the one where he bit the ear off. And I was there for that. Probably the last thing you'd want to see as a kid. But man, that was insane. That was like I couldn't get over that.
I remember
because I didn't even watch violent. Like, I didn't even watch violent movies back then. So when that happened,
real?
It was like, oh my gosh.
So it's imprinted this memory. Like you can probably smell the carpet in that room.
Yeah. Oh, it was crazy. Yeah, I remember. I remember like running around the room, going, what? Oh my god, what? What happened?
That's what I was doing in my living room last night by myself in my boxers.
I remember watching that too. I remember watching him bite his ear and thinking like, what's the big deal? Because I remember it's not like he like, it was kind of more like a,
but a chunk came off.
No, definitely. Like afterwards you saw like part of his ear was missing, but in the fight, I remember in the video what happened, they're locked up and he just puts his whole like mouth around just like, and then they were just like, fight's over. I just remember being confused. Like he just kind of like kissed his ear. Like,
can
what
you
was up
imagine
with that?
The mental state you have to be in to bite another person's ear off.
Hey, that's what I used to think.
I have read about that so, more than you would believe. The rise and fall of Mike Tyson is a fascinating story.
Like, you could say, hey, here's $1 million, bite this guy's ear off.
Yeah.
That is the grossest sounding thing in the world to do.
Oh, like a carrot.
Okay, but imagine like from the age of 11, all you've ever done is fight people in schools, and you're really good at fighting, and you're on a path probably to jail, but then a trainer pulls you out and says, I'm going to train you to be a world champion, and you never lose.
Right.
Until that guy dies, and suddenly you're on your own, and you start losing, and you start feeling like, oh, fuck, I'm not – My whole life is over, and that was that moment, you know?
It's like he knew he was going to lose that match, so he beat himself by disqualifying it. But when I was
a kid,
he
reverted back into street fight mode.
Yeah.
I'm going to beat you no matter what.
Yeah, but when I was a kid, I was just like, oh my god, like he's just so brutal and what a fucking maniac, he bit his ear and like how awesome. But now, like, looking back on it, it's like sad.
Yeah,
like he got in his own head.
His whole story is one of those like classic Hollywood tragic tales. It only to like, you know, stuff like that only happens to people who are rich and famous, and it's always a fascinating story. When you see somebody from out of nowhere become super successful, they hold it for a few years, and then it all falls apart.
It's like, I can't lose.
Honestly, this. I'm surprised we haven't had the Mike Tyson like movie yet.
Sure.
Because he's still around.
I think there's been a documentary. Yeah, they're probably sitting around thinking
around.
Like, you know what? We can make the Mike Tyson movie, but 50-50 chance there's still some crazy shit he's going to do that's going to get in the news.
Tattooing his face.
Story might not be over yet.
He's doing radio commercials.
Like, imagine if you made the O.J. Simpson movie before O.J. went to jail.
Right.
You missed the whole part of, I didn't learn my lesson.
And you know, that was what was frustrating when Oliver Stone made that W movie.
Yeah.
About George W. Bush. Right? He was 3 months away from leaving. And I just remember thinking, just the chance that in the last 3 months, he blows up Canada or something, like something happens, you're going to, like,
hold on. The new movie Vice is directed by the guy who made Anchorman.
Yeah.
And it looks really good.
Yeah, well, I don't know what this is. I love Sam Rockwell, and I'm so fucking happy to see him.
Yeah.
As George W.
Yeah.
Because he's fucking good. I like Sam good. Rockwell, too. I like him because he's so fucking good.
Oh, is that the one he's with really good. Christian Bale as Dick Cheney? I saw a picture of it, but I didn't know what that was from. Okay. He looked like him. It was weird looking. He looked just like him.
There's this movie I used to watch on IFC called Jesus' Son or something like that.
Yeah.
With Sam Rockwell. It was fucking fantastic. Everyone shits on that Moon movie, but I like that movie too.
You know what?
That David Bowie's kid made.
I don't think I've seen a movie with Sam Rockwell that I've liked. I did not like Moon.
Oh, you loved Iron Man 2, though.
Iron Man 2, he was garbage in.
What about Confessions of a Dangerous Mind?
I don't think I saw that.
That's a great movie. What about The Green Mile?
I saw that. What was he in that?
He's like the crazy convict.
Oh, yeah. That's classic. Yeah. So there you go.
He's like the crazy guy who can't be tamed. Oh. He spits on them.
Oh, that
they,
guy.
They
yeah.
spray him with the hose. Okay. All right. That's like his like one of his first movies.
No, I didn't like Moon either.
Yeah, Moon was...
I see
that's not his fault.
No.
He was fine in it, but that movie sucked.
Yeah, yeah, my but I feel like I'm always like alone on that.
So Zoe Bowie's
Nobody here likes Moon, so you're
right.
No, not
Moon.
One person liked it in this
just
room.
Just because Kevin Spacey's in it doesn't mean we have to shit on Moon.
Was he in it?
He's the voice. He's the voice.
Oh, he played HAL 9000.
HAL ripoff.
Sick. Yeah, I like Moon better.
He can't do any
harm. I like Three Billboards a lot.
Ziggy Bowie is good. Whatever his name is.
He was good in Three Billboards.
Stanley Kubrick did it a little bit better. With his version of Moon.
Three Billboards was a good movie.
40 years. Was that directed by Ziggy?
No, but Sam Rockwell.
Ziggy Marley, yeah.
Bob
Marley.
Ziggy Bowie.
But back to that UFC fight, though.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, some good undercards and all that mess. Me and Eric were talking about it. But interesting ending. Like, the fight ended, and then, yeah, like... you guys were asking because you didn't hear anything about this.
I didn't hear anything about
it, yeah. But there was like the guy who won the fight, a Russian guy named Khabib Nurmagomedov.
Oh,
Russian. He jumped over the ring and started fist fighting a trainer from Conor McGregor's.
Oh, shit.
Why? I don't know. They were all talking shit. Like the whole fight was. I'll give it that it was a super interesting and the most exciting thing I've watched in months. I had a great time watching it.
Wow.
But this fight at the end was very exciting as well.
Oh, my gosh.
But they just kept saying, like, oh, what a horrible thing. And, yeah, I guess you got to say that. Like, what a stain, what a black eye on the night and everything. Because similar to the Tyson ear-biting thing, it's, like, so perverse and over the top that it's, like, so controversial. That's what everyone's talking about.
No, it's a stain because, like... inciting a riot is illegal.
Yeah.
So,
and it got kind of scary looking in the audience.
Yeah, if you're going to hold these events, but it's going to result in riots and all this fucking crime happening,
it is
a stain on the industry because it makes it hard to put these events on.
It doesn't help the people that are trying to kind of shut down UFC for being hyper-violent and inciting, like this.
Huge.
So, yeah, it definitely, like, you know, a couple fucking bad apples are going to ruin the bunch. What then happened was another trainer from... the Russian side jumped in when all the security people's backs were turned and just sucker punched Conor McGregor in the side of the face.
No.
So it was like,
I know what I'll be watching.
A fight broke out outside, then a fight broke out inside, then they don't cut away because it's pay per view, and there's like 20 minutes of, I don't know if this fight's fucking done because they're still like shoving and just big fucking testosterone men running around and pushing each other and holding back and screaming in Russian and yelling.
Yeah.
And, I mean, some of the funniest post-fight interviews, though, guy said his balls was hot. That's why he took his pants off. He then later said what he was going to do at the end of the night was go home, throw his wife's legs up in the air and see what happens. I mean, some of the greatest, you get some of the greatest quotes.
He's got those bonsai
I think that guy's been kicked in the head a couple of times too many.
Cage fighting is a fucking entertaining sport.
You know, it's funny. I saw the interview with them beforehand and their fucking ears.
The cauliflower ear. Yeah.
Is real.
You see a lot of the commentators.
Then, you know, it's kind of like, they had to do the picture thing they always do.
Yeah.
And they started like going at it. And
I know.
In my head, I'm like, this is a fucking show.
So like
that's not real.
Yeah.
They're just doing it to get publicity for the fight. And now afterwards that I think, oh, it was real.
So
apparently
it definitely
a problem.
It definitely is real because like people are getting fucked up and bloodied and like
nice.
Horribly injured. And You know, I think the Russian guy got super pissed and was taking it super seriously. Connor played such a fucking heel. He was strutting around, and he's, like, handsome as fuck and just super built and tattooed.
And that is, like, is he wanting to be the heel, or is that just who he is?
Oh, he's a fucking millionaire, and he constantly is talking about it and flaunting it. Like, that Mayweather boxing promotion put him over the top on such a level, and he's still feeding off this. And this fight, he lost. You know, he tapped out to, like, a submission. Like, he got...
Was it early on, or was it like,
in the fourth. And they were fucked up and tired by the end of it. So, it was a entertaining battle, definitely. Connor was playing dirty, too. Like, he was hooking his feet into the cage. Shit you're not allowed to do. Apparently grabbing Khabib's glove a bunch. Not to, is this on main podcast? We don't want to go too deep into
that. We're at the end of it.
But I feel like I'm on a Power Rangers run.
No, I'm in.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
I feel like, no, I'm just in the fourth
Rocco,
round.
Rocco, I literally don't understand.
I literally don't know what you're talking about. Oh, discussing something interesting? Oh, is that a crime?
That's about. yeah, and then, of course, you got your boy Joe Rogan in there doing the announcing, doing the post fight interviews. Always entertaining.
Fuck yeah.
Do you still listen to Joe Rogan's show?
Yeah, pretty regularly. Yeah. Every once in a while, there's a boring guest I'll skip.
I don't watch his podcast, listen to his podcast, listen, but I watched his...
I do occasionally.
I watched his Netflix comedy special last night. Joe Rogan's pretty funny.
He's really funny.
He's really funny. I'm really enjoying all these Netflix comedy specials because every comedian is going in with the same mentality. I'm going to get in trouble for all this shit I'm going to say, so I'm just going to say it.
Yeah.
And then, great comedy special.
That's cool. Yeah, I think I plugged the last Tom Segura one on Netflix. If you're saying this new Joe one, it's like right around the same line.
Segura gets major points for me forever because he showed my video on his podcast.
I did a
send off of the classic Garth Brooks
on
bit
on Facebook. Yeah,
but it was the taking a shit version. I did that a while ago, and Tom Segura showed it on his show, and they were, and then he tweeted at me that he thought it was funny. Hey, Tom Segura, I got your back forever.
Don't forget, Christina brothers. Krasinski.
It's just like, all you got to do. I'm very easy to get, you know, me in your personal army.
Good
okay,
because
let me tell you, a lot of stuff I didn't really care for in The Last Jedi. You know, some average stuff. Guess what? Ryan Johnson, he praised the Mega 64 video on Twitter once.
Ooh.
Yeah. Best Star Wars director ever to me.
Hey, I like Ryan Johnson.
I like the Leia stuff.
Not that movie though.
To each his own.
Still like Looper.
I still well, it's too late in the show to get into The Last fucking Jedi, but I had thoughts on that when it came out, and I thought, well, this will solidify as I see it more, and I still have the same. Like verdict on that movie. I'll share that interesting thought on a later podcast, but I wanted to let everyone know about Mega 64 Game Days. That's right, November 10th and 11th, Mega 64 will be going to Anaheim, California for an amazing weekend of a lot of fun and a lot of magic and a little pixie dust on the side. Be sure to go to mega64.com/gamedays to get all of the info. Join us for day one as we have our own event. It's a mini convention that we put together with guests, panels, booths, and so much more. And then day two, we all together with you go to Disneyland for a wonderful day in this most magical theme park. Our day one guests include DJ Doug Pound doing not only a performance, but a commentary on some of his pivotal work. And ProZD, who will be there to showcase his amazing comedic skills. But I have an announcement. Joining us for day two at Disneyland is world famous video gamist and YouTube personality, Gerard the Completionist.
Nice.
Now, in case you don't know that name, you will when you remember the tragedy that happened during the cell attack of Metro City years ago, actually this summer, so a couple months ago, when Cell tragically sucked the poor boy of his life force. However, Baba let him come back to life for one more day so that he could join us on game days. So when you see him day two with us at Disneyland, just be sure to say, hey, you know, we're going to be praying for you. But anyway, he will be there with us on day two at Disneyland. So I think that's really exciting.
That is exciting.
The booths that are going to be there on day one are going to be awesome. Anime Trash Swag's coming back.
Oh, yeah.
Gallery Nucleus has like an art installation. I mean, it's going to be awesome.
Sick.
Gosh, who else? We will be there. Doug Pound is going to be doing his stuff. It's going to be
DJ
awesome.
DJ Disc Jockey.
Anyway, if you want the low, again, the prices I think are going up on the day one thing in like a week. So go to mega64.com/gamedays and get your tickets if you haven't already. It's going to be so much fun, isn't it?
Yep.